Good morning, church. How's everybody? Fletcher, come here, man. Come here. So if you don't know Fletcher, Fletcher's a pretty cool dude. I'm gonna quiz you, a biblical quiz. He asked me to tell a joke. He wanted to do a drum roll for the, and I won't let him. So come right over here. Biblical quiz. So who do you think the shortest person in the Bible was?
Moses.
Haven't you seen Charlton Heston's a big old dude, man? Zacchaeus, maybe? You know, he was a wee little man. And a wee little man was he. Did you? I don't know. You think it was Zacchaeus?
Sure.
It wasn't Zacchaeus. And you think, how about Nehemiah? You think it was Nehemiah? It wasn't Nehemiah either. One more chance. How about Gildad the Shuhite? Shuhite. Okay. It was him.
Jesus.
Go play. Go. Baby Jesus was the shortest. Oh, well, we're going to have fun this morning. The youth praise team is leading us this morning. Did you know that it's not against the rules to laugh in church and to have fun? Why should people outside of Christ have all the fun? I think that we should celebrate because, man, if anybody has good news, it's us, those of us in Christ. We have good news. We should be joyful. Let's invite the Holy Spirit in this place. Father, we love you. Thank you for being so good to us. Thank you, Father, that some of the fruit of your Spirit is joy. May this be a joyful place today. Would you just send your Spirit, with the name of Jesus, be high and lifted up in our music, in our words, in our thoughts, in everything we do today. May that name be lifted up. We love you and we praise you and we trust you in Jesus' name. Amen. So welcome again. Welcome to our live stream worshipers as well. Rise if you are able. Let's worship.
All right. Good morning. As Jeff said, the youth praise team has the great privilege of leading y'all this morning. Brent is out of town, and so they are stepping up. Sometimes I know what we're doing up in the youth room and everything y'all might not be aware of, and so this is our praise team that leads the youth every single Wednesday in worship. They have two wonderful leaders of Daisy and Taylor. We have a new piano player, Callie, this year. Fletcher stepped up to drums this year. Josh gratefully filled up in on bass for us this year. Our previous drummer, Emily, stepped into guitar, and she is killing it this year. And then we have two beautiful new singers this year, Aria and Kyler. So we are so excited to lead y'all in worship if you'll join with us.
I've got resurrection in my veins.
Children will head out with Miss Teresa for Children's Church.
Well, good morning. Youth praise team, thank you so much for leading us through the throne of grace. You know, God has really blessed this church with some musical talent. I don't know if you're aware of that or not. I mean, we've got like five or six people that can play the drums. And for a church this size, that's unheard of. A lot of larger churches struggle with one or two drummers and guitar players and singers, and it's just amazing what God has assembled here. Well, again, welcome. I want to encourage you to go ahead and check into this service through the through the app, whichever service you're attending. If you're online, you can check into the online service as well. Quick update on the elevator. We're going to have a funeral someday this week for that elevator. Memorial service or something. But it played out on us this past Monday, and we ordered a part to get it going. It did not come in, and so we had to shuffle some Sunday school classes around this morning. We're going to shuffle some community groups around on Wednesday nights, and they're going to start on the overhaul next Monday at the latest, and we'll be down probably for 3 weeks after that. And so just bear with us. And, you know, God has been so faithful. The funds to make repairs, you know, it's we have it. It's not putting us in a financial bind of $55,000. And y'all have been so faithful to give to the Lord's work that we're just going to get that thing repaired, maybe get another 50 years out of it if Jesus doesn't come back, and keep on trucking. So just bear with us for a few weeks until we get the elevator repaired. A couple things on the calendar. Men's breakfast is this coming Saturday at 7:30 in the Fellowship Hall. And then if you're new to our church, our pastor will host a discovery class on the 28th in the church office, and you can learn more about our fellowship. And there will be more information coming about that in the next few weeks. So I was praying about our prayer time this morning, and there is a prayer model, the ACTS prayer model. I don't know if you're familiar with it or not. It's ACTS. It's an acronym for Adoration, Confession, Thanksgiving, and Supplication, and it's a model that I don't use often, but sometimes I get kind of stuck in my prayer time, and so it helps me to just have some kind of order to my prayer life, and kind of checking all the boxes, I guess, in a sense, when it comes to prayer. And I want to walk us through that model this morning. The A in ACTS stands for adoration. It allows us to focus on praising the Lord, adoring him for who he is and what he is like. The C in ACTS stands for confession. It allows us to confess our sins that have not already been confessed. You know, there's no reason to rehash those. If we've confessed them, God's forgotten them. He won't remember, so there's no reason to confess those again, but it gives us opportunity to confess sin that's unconfessed. The T in ACTS stands for thanksgiving. It's giving thanks to the Lord regardless of whatever season of life that we're in the midst of prosperity, in the midst of trial. We're told to thank him. And the S is stands for supplication. That's where we earnestly and humbly ask, present our needs to the Lord, our request to him on behalf of ourselves and others. So I want to encourage you to go ahead and get before the Lord, whatever posture you want to assume. And I'm going to give us a little time just for us to just gather our thoughts, just kind of block everything else out. For some of us, it may have been a while since we've done this. And what a great opportunity to connect with him this morning. So just seek him. Just seek him, and I'm going to lead us through this model. Church, let's spend some time adoring him for who he is. Focus on his holiness, his righteousness, his power. Revelation 4:11, worthy are you, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they existed and were created. Adore him, church. Spend some time in confession. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Not just some, but all unrighteousness. We can trust him during confessions. So let's confess our sins to him. Let's spend some time in thanksgiving. Again, whatever season of life we're in, you may be going through a trial today. In the midst of that, front end of that, back end of that, there's power in thanksgiving, church. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18, rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will. It's his will that we do this. It's his will for us in Christ Jesus. Let's thank him, church. Let's spend some time in supplication, presenting our needs, our request before him for ourselves and others. Philippians 4:6, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving present your request to the Lord. Let's present those needs to him. Pray with me. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Thank you again, church, for your financial faithfulness. Our giving options will be on the screen. Offering boxes are by the doors. I want to remind you, we'll have people available for prayer after the service. Please take advantage of that. Praise team.
If you'll rise with us for worship.
Christ is my firm foundation, the rock on which I stand. When everything around me is shaken, I've never been more glad that I put my faith in Jesus, 'cause he's never let me down. He's faithful through generations, so why would he fail now? He won't. I've still got joy in chaos. I've got peace that makes no sense, so I won't be going under. I'm not held by my own strength, 'cause I built my life on Jesus, and he's never let me down. He's faithful in every season, so why would he fail now? He won't. Everything around me is shaken.
Good morning again, church. You know, I'm always, every time I tell one of my goofy jokes, I'm always upped after that. Jim told me that after the little shoe hot thing, said that God loves short people. Go ahead and say it, Jim.
Jesus said, "Lo, I am with you always."
How come he gets all the laughs, man?
It's the tie.
It's the tie. Okay. Well, if you are our visitor this morning, our guest, we're glad you're here. We love you being here. Hope you feel the joy of the Lord. Hope you feel the love of His people and the presence of His Holy Spirit. If you are our guest, there's a card in the seat pocket in front of you. I invite you to fill that out. You certainly don't have to do that, but I'd love for you to fill it out. I'd love to meet you. I'll be at this end of the foyer after the service and would love to meet you. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 9. As I told the early service, I had no idea God even had a coffee shop. See, Jim, that's what I get. Oh, you cheating on me. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 7. But only the high priest entered the inner room, and that only once a year, and never without blood, which he offered for himself and for the sins the people had committed in ignorance. Verse 11. When Christ came as high priest, he did not enter by the means of the blood of goats and calves, but he entered the most high place once for all by his own blood, having obtained eternal redemption. The blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of a heifer sprinkled on those who are ceremonially unclean sanctify them so that they are outwardly clean. How much more then will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself unblemished to God, cleanse our consciences from acts that lead to death, so that we may serve the living God. For this reason, Christ is the mediator of a new covenant, that those who are called may receive the promised eternal inheritance, now that he has died as a ransom to set them free from the sins committed under the first covenant. Verse 22. In fact, the law requires that nearly everything be cleansed with blood, and without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, you are indeed welcome here. We ask you now to speak. We want to hear from you. Would you speak in power and authority and transform our hearts in Jesus' name? Amen. So, I don't know, how many of you like snakes? Really, not one snake? Well, you got one hand that went up. Okay, I don't like snakes, any kind of snakes, but I certainly don't like rattlesnakes. How many of you been to the Sweetwater Roundup, the rattlesnake roundup? I don't want to go because I don't want to have nightmares. You know, I have no interest in that at all. So we have venomous snakes. It's interesting how God, as he's telling the story of creation, and he basically gives us this picture of Satan being the serpent. And we've just finished the series on Psalm 23 where we talked about that we are sheep, and that Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. One of the things that's interesting about if you get bit by a venomous snake, you need an anti-venom. You know, anybody know how they make most anti-venom? They use the blood of a sheep. They inject a little bit of venom into the sheep. The sheep's blood produces, did you know, a serpent, a snake, can't kill a sheep? Do you know that? It's very, very rare for a sheep to die from a snake bite. So they inject a little bit of venom into the sheep, and the blood produces antibodies that then the doctors can use those antibodies from the sheep blood to save snake bite victims. Man, isn't God amazing? Isn't God amazing? Spiritually, we have the thing that brings death to us is a lot worse than a snake bite, the venom of a snake bite. The thing that brings death to us is sin. It must be dealt with. Spiritually, Jesus, the Lamb of God, took on the venom of sin, our sin, at the cross. He absorbed it in its curse for himself. Read Scripture. So I'll give you two quick notations here if you want to put them in your handout. 2 Corinthians 5:21 and Galatians 3:13. Talk about that. From his blood, from the blood of this precious Lamb of God, his blood comes as the only true antidote to what kills us, sin. So, I don't know, this has probably been at least 2 months ago. The Lord laid on my heart that he wanted me this Sunday, as we take Holy Communion, to talk about his blood. Today's message is, when I see the blood. So blood, we kind of have this negative connotation about blood. We think that, and we see movies and these gory movies and all, it's like we see a lot of blood, we think immediately of death. But here's the truth. Blood isn't death, blood is life. It's the loss of blood that'll do you in. Blood doesn't equate death. Blood is life. Without blood, none of us would be alive. I'm gonna impress you with my medical knowledge now. Are you ready? After I Googled a little bit this week. Every average person, we have around 10 pints of blood. If we lose 4 pints or more, it's not going to end up too well for us. Blood is essential to life. It's the life source. It's important, church. It's the life source. It carries fuel and oxygen to the billions of cells in our bodies. It supplies the brain and the heart with nourishment to function. It keeps us warm in the winter and cool in the summer. It fights infections. It gets rid of waste. DNA is part of our blood. The DNA, I'm going to stop there, sir. DNA. We're discovering more and more and more scientifically every day. Yes? What, 20, 30 years ago, people, DNA, we never even heard that term. I tell Cheryl, I think sometimes we're just getting too big for our britches as a culture. We figure out DNA and we think, man, we are really smart. And God's like, dude, I created DNA. And you're just now figuring out it even exists. DNA carries most of our genetic instructions that's used in our growth and our development and our functioning and reproduction of all of our living organisms. Blood is essential to our life. Blood in the Bible. Throughout, blood is talked about a lot in the Bible. Adam and Eve, when they surrendered to the lies of the serpent and they rebelled against God and they realized they were naked, and it says God came and covered them with animal skins. Well, guess what? There were some animals that were using those skins before they became clothes for Adam and Eve. Abel brought sacrifices of his flocks before the Lord, and it pleased the Lord. The covenant of circumcision. But the one I want to spend a little time on here is the Passover lamb. So we know the story. God's people found themselves in bondage. They were in bondage to the Egyptians. Guess what you and I are in bondage with? To sin and death. But they were in bondage to the Egyptians for 400 years. And we know that God started sending all the plagues and everything, and Pharaoh would not surrender. And finally God said, you know what? We're going to get his attention this time. He said, the spirit of death is going to flow through Egypt, and every living male, animal and human, is going to die. But then for his people, he said, I want you to take a perfect year-old male lamb, each family, and I want you to sacrifice this lamb, and I want you to paint the blood of this sacrifice over your doorway. And when death comes through Egypt, the spirit of death comes flowing through Egypt, when I see the blood, hello, is this on? When I see the blood, I will pass over that house. And I've seen this, I've read this, this quote, but God didn't, when he saw the blood, he didn't look inside the home to see, were these people worthy? He saw the blood of the lamb, and he passed over. I don't know about you, that gives me hope. Choose 1-year-old male without defect. Slaughter them at twilight. Then you're to take some of the blood and put it on the sides and tops of the door frames of the houses. And on that same night, I will pass through Egypt and will strike down every firstborn, both men and animals, and I will bring judgment on all the gods of Egypt. I am the Lord. The blood, this life-giving blood, the blood will be a sign for you on the houses where you are. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. Blood is not about death, church. The blood of our lamb, it's about life. Anybody covered in the blood of the lamb? I've told this before, but it strikes me to tell it again. A few years ago when I was in seminary and had a professor who was also a pastor, and he was starting, had a couple of years before this, he tells us this story. He said, I was starting a new church, a brand new church, and I wanted to do it right. And so me and my leaders that were going to start this church, we went all over the country looking and worshiping at different churches that were doing, seemed to be doing well, that had a lot of growth. And we were just gathering ideas. And he went to a particular church in California, happened to be in California, and he went, and lots of people, and it's kind of like a concert, and they're doing all kinds of stuff. And he said he's looking around, and he doesn't see any crosses, and they didn't have communion or anything like that day. So when they got through, he's asking the pastor. He says, I noticed you didn't have any crosses or anything in the church. Was that there a particular reason for that? And the guy said, well, you know, we find this, the cross is kind of a downer. We want to rejoice. And it's kind of, man, that the cross is, you know, all this death and everything. And so, and he said, wow, okay. He said, well, do y'all take communion? No, you know, all that blood and stuff, it's just, again, just kind of a negative thing. We just, this is a church. This is the pastor telling him this. And I would want so badly to talk to him and say, you're missing it, man. The cross it's not about death, it's about life. The blood that we will have communion just a little while. The cup, it's not about death, it's about life. This condition of sinfulness that had to, this debt that had to be paid, Jesus paid it with his innocent blood. We need to, just a side note, we need to know God's word, church. Don't listen to what I say unless it's founded in God's word. So the blood of Jesus, the Lamb of God, this pure blood of Jesus provides us believers so many things, and I'm gonna hit on four of them, but there's so much more it provides. But the blood of Jesus provides the believer with forgiveness. If we have an enemy that wants to, he wants to heap shame and guilt and condemnation upon us. But we have a Savior that's paid that price. Jesus said that the night that he's sitting around the table with these guys, that these knuckleheads, just like me, he's sitting around these guys that would should have been right by his side, but they one betrayed him, one denied him, and the rest deserted him. And he's sitting there, and he's serving this meal. They'd been observing the Passover meal for centuries, and Jesus changed the script that night. And he said, when he lifted the cup, he said, "This is the blood of the new covenant." Something new's happening here. It's poured out for many for the forgiveness of sin. So through the blood of this new covenant, through the blood of Jesus, we have forgiveness. You don't, man, if you're beating yourself up about something you've done or something you're doing or something that's been done to you, there's forgiveness in the blood of Jesus. Now that doesn't give us, Paul talks about this, read Romans, he talks about this. He's saying in Romans, he's saying, the more we sin, the more grace increases. And you sin some more, the grace increases. And so the natural thing is like, well, hey, if I want a lot of grace, I just do a lot of sinning. And he's going, no. You died to sin. How can you live in it any longer? So the result, if we understand what Jesus did, if we understand this meal, if we understand what the blood of Jesus has accomplished for us, it will burden our hearts when we fail, when we stumble. The blood of Jesus provides the believer with forgiveness. Secondly, the blood of Jesus provides the believer with redemption. Ephesians 1:7, in Jesus we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. We have been redeemed. I forget the name of the song. That's in the chorus. I am redeemed. What is it?
By the blood of the Lamb.
By the blood of the Lamb. And to redeem is when we, I think, I know simple terms, I know, but do they still do layaways? Anybody do? They don't do layaways anymore, do they? I'm sorry, I'm old. But in the old days, young people, they used to have a deal where you could go and just like, I want to buy that coat, but it's a little more money than I have right now, so I'll tell you what, I'm going to give you a down payment, and you're going to put that back in the back, and you're going to hold it for me, and it's on layaway, and then they give you a ticket. And when you come back in later and you pay the balance, what was owed on the coat, and you show them the ticket, you redeem that ticket. You've just purchased the coat. That's what Christ has done with us. He has redeemed us through his blood. He has purchased us. We now belong to him. The blood of Jesus provides forgiveness. The blood of Jesus provides redemption. Three, the blood of Jesus provides the believer with righteousness. How many of you feel righteous right now? We should, but we struggle with that. Romans 3:21, but now righteousness from God apart from the law. What he's saying is that observing the law, you'll never get it right. You'll never be righteous. That's the old covenant. He gave us that to show, to demonstrate that we can't do it, that we need Jesus. There's the righteousness of God apart from the law has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who do really, really good things. No, it doesn't say that? Wait, let me read that again. It comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Everybody take your index finger, point. That's who he's talking about. We've all sinned, fall short of the glory of God, and we're justified freely by His grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. God presented Jesus as a sacrifice of atonement through faith in His blood. There it is again. Through faith in His blood. Life-giving blood. God made Him who had no sin, Jesus, to be sin for us so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. I love that imagery. I've used this before, but where if you can imagine each of us, we've all sinned, and we have, if you can picture wearing this filthy coat of rags, it's just nasty. And we can scrub on it, and we can get a seamstress to stitch on it and try to make it as pleasant as we can, but it's still just an old, nasty old coat of rags. Jesus wasn't wearing a coat of dirty rags. He was wearing a robe of righteousness. And so at the cross, this Lamb of God, whose blood was pure, there was this exchange that happened at the cross. Not only did He take upon Himself our filthy rags, our sin, and nail it to the cross and deal with it, but He exchanged that and gave us His robe of righteousness. We are therefore clothed in the righteousness of Christ. And whether we feel like it or not, that's how God sees us. In Christ, through the blood of the Lamb, He sees you as He sees Jesus. And the problem is, we don't see ourselves that way. That's how God sees us. Because if He didn't see us like that, He couldn't even be in relationship with us. That the sin that happened in the garden severed that relationship. It had to be dealt with. Something had to reestablish that connection. Guess what it was? Anybody guessing yet? It's the blood of Jesus shed on the cross. It reestablished. It made us righteous in the sight of God through this precious blood of the Lamb. Fourthly, the blood of Jesus provides a believer with life. Not eternal life someday. It's not something we have to look forward to someday that we'll have eternal life. Life right now. Hebrews 9:14 that we read earlier. How much more then will the blood of Christ through the eternal Spirit, He's talking about the Holy Spirit, through the eternal Spirit offered Himself unblemished to God, cleanse our consciousness, our consciences from acts that lead to death so that we may serve the living God. See, I love that movie, God's Not Dead. We don't serve. You know, I'm getting sidetracked, but I just feel like, man, I'm in it. All the other religions, I've told you, and I'm not trying to be critical, but I mean, it's just the way it is. When a few years ago, I read in the paper, they were all across the United States, they had a finger bone of Buddha making his way around the United States. And all these people, the Buddhists, couldn't wait to come see the finger bone of Buddha. Guess what? If you're looking for the bones of Jesus, you won't find them because He's alive. He's risen. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, Jesus said. These are Jesus' words. But I've come that you may have life and have it to the full. Life. And probably my favorite as I'm thinking about the blood of the Lamb. Revelation, the enemy, John has this vision, God's given him this vision, and he's in Revelation 12, he says that God's people overcame the accuser. Who's the accuser? Satan. God's people overcame the accuser, Satan, by being really, really, really good people. Is that what it says? Let's see what it says. They overcome the accuser by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. What's our testimony? When the accuser comes against us, all we've got to do is say, whatever you're trying to tell me that I'm I'm a scum. I'm nobody likes me. I'm this. I'm that. I'm covered in the blood of Jesus. I'm a child of the King. He loved me enough to hang on a cross for me. You overcome the accuser by the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony. Man, there's things I was thinking. We have weapons. We have spiritual weapons against the enemy. And one of them is the blood of Jesus. The other one is the Holy Spirit that gives us power, gives us all sorts of gifts from the Spirit, from God Himself. We have the name of Jesus that is above every name. There's power in the name of Jesus. We have God's Word, His holy Word. We have our testimony. And those are, we have praise. That's something come to my mind. We have praise. Did you know that's a weapon? When you're, I challenge you. If you struggle with depression, next time you're feeling down, begin to praise Jesus. Call on His name. Praise Jesus. Get in His Word. Praise Jesus. See if that lifts anything. It's a weapon. Church, this meal, you know, so Jesus is sitting around the table with these guys. Cheryl and I are rewatching The Chosen. Anybody watch The Chosen? We've been rewatching it. We actually last night watched the scene, the Last Supper scene last night. I thought it was pretty amazing. But Jesus is sitting around these guys and He's telling them what's going to happen. He told them numerous times what was going to happen to Him. And He changed the script, this Passover script. He changed it and He said, "This is My body broken for you." And they'd been observing this Passover meal for centuries. And He was changing it. It's a new covenant. And He took the cup and He blessed it and He said, "This is the cup of the new covenant." Things are changing. What He was saying, things are changing tonight. They're changing for all eternity. The precious blood of the Lamb, Jesus, is shedding His blood for us. And if I'm not mistaken, God's Word says when death is passing over and God sees the blood, He'll pass over that house. Anybody else covered in the blood of Jesus? What He's done for us is amazing. I want to invite the praise team, the servers, to come forward, please. Christ our Lord has shed his blood for you. He invites you to this table to receive. If you have confessed Jesus as your Lord and Savior and you've repented of your sin, you're welcome to come and be served. You do not have to be a member of our church. If you come, these two stations here and these two stations over here will have, you'll be given a piece of bread, and you dip the bread into the cup and partake in that manner. If you'd rather have the individual elements, you can come to the center and receive those. Go ahead and go back to your seat and open the bread first and consume the elements there, and then you can discard your empty as you leave. Jesus loves you. When God says, when I see the blood, I will pass over. Come.
Are you hurting and broken?
said last week, this I know, for the Bible tells us so. Through the blood of Jesus, we overcome the accuser by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. That's good news, church. Go and tell someone. We are dismissed. God bless you. Hi, this is Pastor Jeff Hatcher with Wiley Methodist Church in Abilene, Texas. I want to thank you for listening to this message from God's Word today. If you do not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, He loves you and He wants to be your friend and your Savior. If that is you, I ask you to pray this prayer with me. Lord, I confess that I am a sinner. I ask you to forgive me of my sin. I ask you to come into my heart and be my Lord and my Savior and wash me as white as snow in Jesus' name. Amen. If you prayed that prayer today for the first time, I invite you to do four things. First of all, tell someone, share this decision with someone. We are better together than we are alone. And then also, I ask you to consider being baptized. Jesus Himself set the example for us by being baptized Himself, and He encourages us to do the same. And then I ask you to consider finding a Bible-believing and Bible-preaching church and plug in. Again, we are better together than alone. And then finally, I ask you to get into God's Word. It's not just because it is makes us a better person, but also because it is the living Word, and God speaks to us through His Word. The Gospel of John is a great place to begin. If I can help you be of any sort of assistance through this process, you can contact me at my email address, jhatcher@wileymethodist.org. God bless you.